match.
Welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We got Mikey V up there in the top left. We got Joey D down there. I'm the big ticket. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. And boys, let's just jump into this thing. We got a lot to talk about, especially since we're a few days late. We got a little more extra to talk about. Let's just kick it off with Wyndham Clark, U.S. Open. Joey D, walk me through that weekend for you.
I mean, we briefly talked about it on our Bob the Sports podcast. LACC, I mean, gorgeous course, great spot. But as a venue, hosting a tournament of this caliber, as a spectator at least, I thought it was very underwhelming. The vibes were not ideal. Very, very subtle in terms of crowds. I mean, again, the course is gorgeous, but just didn't have the U.S. Open feel. That being said, super stoked to see Wyndham Clark win his first major. We had dinner with his caddy on Wednesday night, John Ellis. And, you know, Bob said to him at one point, he said, you know, aside from Wyndham, of course, like, who do you think's going to win this thing? He goes, you got to like Rory McIlroy for this tournament. And sure enough, it was Rory and him going head to head that last final day. It was enjoyable. I thought it was good. But again, just lacked that kind of juice that we've seen in the past. I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, the U.S. Open, when John Rahm won it at Torrey Pines, electric. He made a couple of huge putts at the end. The crowd was ignited. There was so much excitement and anticipation. And I don't think that the golf necessarily lacked in this tournament, because I thought there was some good golf played.
It didn't.
Not only to mention, like, the first day, Ricky Fowler and Schauffele both shot a U.S. Open record 8-under on the first day. So there was good golf being played throughout the tournament. Just, I don't know, man, just something about LACC and the way that it was run left a lot to be desired. But that's that. I mean, you know, what can you do, right?
Yeah. Mikey V.
I thought the golf itself, like Joe just said, was, I thought it was great. I thought Rory, you know, I was really rooting for Rory there. To catch Wyndham. I really would have liked to see Rory close it out. He didn't. I bet him top five to finish top five, which was a good bet. Dustin Johnson, I had to win it. He was in there until the last day. Well, really Saturday, he kind of fell off. But to Joe's point, I mean, this country club, I just like, it just seems so over the top stuffy. And it's just, to me, it's just like a turnoff. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of guys who like want to play there. And like, it's like, maybe it's like a bucket list thing for guys. But for me, I don't know. Like, to me, that's more of a turnoff to me, like the over stuffiness. And like, not to say that it shouldn't be classy, because I kind of like that aspect of golf, where like, there's certain, you know, standards to uphold when you go to the club, and you can't act like a total jerk, and, you know, you got to hold some, but like, to the level that they're giving, you know, members are buying all the tickets, and, you know, they don't allow this and they don't allow that, and super strict on this, super strict on that. Like, I don't know. Like, it just took the buzz out of it. We talked about it on the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Like, was it Wyndham, Joe, or was it, no, it was Ricky hit this like a 70-foot putt. And it sounded like a lie. It sounded like a library. Like, it's just, it wasn't like, I don't know, like, make golf more fun. I think that's what golf really has going for it, is like, it's becoming now more of a younger it's like attracting the younger demographic these days. And I think that this group is certainly a part of that. I think, you know, what you guys do on the Bob Does Sports side is definitely a part of that. And what, you know, other influencer groups do is a part of that. And some of these, you know, the live split, I think, kind of intensified it a little bit. The live split kind of reminded me a little bit of like Nitro against Monday Night Raw almost.
Yeah.
Where like it draw, like, it's kind of like that draws in a younger crowd, that kind of competition. And that's good for the growth of the game. Now, I'm not saying I agree with all the politics behind it, but I think it's good for the growth of the game. Something like this kind of stunts the growth. Like, everybody and their mother, that's all they were talking about on Twitter, was how shit the atmosphere was and how poor it was. especially for a major, like, just come on, man. Like, come on. I expected more. And they, I saw they already got the bid to host it again, but like by the time that happens, Dom will be like, you know, married with a kid maybe by that time. So I'm not too concerned with that. Hopefully I'm still here. But yeah, overall, I thought the golf was good. I just thought the venue, like Joe said, I'm on board with Joe completely. Golf, I thought was good. The venue, I thought was just, it was just stuffy.
It's kind of a lose-lose situation too, because as a spectator and just watching it as a lover of golf, it lacked flair, it lacked intensity. And then you got to imagine the people who are members at that club have got to be freaking pissed, because A, they have two courses. The South course, they turned into a parking lot. They literally had cars parked on the fairways of the other course. And then, like, the end with people rushing the green on 18 and stuff. Like, it got trampled. The course is going to get beaten up. So the members got to be pissed, because they're used to having no exposure of that course whatsoever. So much so that Rory was watching shit on YouTube because he had nothing to see, like, based on like coverage of the course. And then, you know, it's just like, then on top of that, it's getting beat up, the spectator loses. So to be honest, if I was USGA, I probably, you know, the PGA probably should not probably go back there. Like, it's just, I don't know.
There's a few courses they shouldn't go back to, but it's like, it's weird because, like you guys said, the atmosphere was so shitty, even as a viewer on TV. Maybe it was even more shittier than the people who were there. I don't know, Joe, you can speak to that
in
a minute.
It was bad.
But it was bad. They're playing, what's it called? The Travers right now? Is that what it's called?
Travelers.
The Travelers. The first day of that already felt more exciting than the U.S.
It
Open.
It didn't feel like a major at
it
all.
Didn't.
It felt
Not
like
even
a
little bit.
Meaningless golf.
Correct.
And here's the other thing, too. The commentating was terrible. Like, it was not good throughout. It was just, I don't know. It just really lacked flair. It did not feel like I was watching a major championship.
How many strokes? And this is not to bust balls. How many strokes did Koepka win the PGA Championship by? The last major.
How many did he win it by?
Four or five.
It wasn't really particularly close.
No.
So now what you have is like the Masters was great, and then it lost a lot of steam, I felt like, because of the weather. The weather fucked the Masters up this year a little bit for me. The tree falling, like, it was just fucking bizarre. The last day, Sunday being on Easter Sunday, a lot of people doing things on Easter Sunday. Then the second major isn't really close. Brooks wins it going away. And now this one, the crowd sucked. Like,
well, it was close going into the last day. Hovland was right within like
that's
one or
true.
Two strokes.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's 100%
true. But Brooks
true.
Kind of, I think everybody watching kind of, to your point, really didn't think that Hovland was going to overtake him. I didn't
now,
get that vibe.
And now this latest major, the crowd, like, there was no buzz to it whatsoever, it felt like. So hopefully the final major of the year, which is a couple of weeks away, hopefully that will restore a little of the roar for this, because I just think, like, the first three, like, they Masters, like I said, had an opportunity to be really good. I thought it kind of, some of the wind got taken out of the sails with the weather and the tree and shit. And then, you know, Brooks going away in the second one. And then this one, you know, this one had an opportunity. If this crowd was buzzing and this was a different course, I mean, that's a one-stroke win, right? I mean,
it was
he finished
close
minus
the whole
10,
way.
And Rory finished minus 9. So, yeah, I hope the next one's the total package. We'll see.
The fact that you have one of the most exciting players, I mean, he hasn't really been that great in a while, but he's notoriously been one of the most exciting players in the game, which is Ricky Fowler. And the fact that he was 8-under, along with Xander Schauffele, another young stud that a lot of people like, after the first day, and that didn't change the atmosphere whatsoever. That couldn't get the people going. Just says a lot about both LACC and the US Open and how they structured that entire environment. I mean, it was just a poor showing, the fact that Ricky Fowler couldn't get the people going. But that being
Rory
said,
too, Rory.
Yeah, I mean, Rory too. People love PGA. Rory. Yeah.
We should just make the waste management a major at this point.
I mean,
I mean,
imagine?
I mean, that now that's, But that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the type of event.
But that's the other extreme, Mikey. That's
it
the
is,
other extreme.
It is.
Yeah, I think that's so special because it happens once a year. If that was every year, if that was every tournament, every weekend, I don't think I could watch the game, to be honest.
Oh, it was exhausting being there. I'll tell you that much.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll move on to a topic that we have talked about a little bit, but we got a very specific request from friend of the program for sure, but me and Joe for sure, Mr. Jamie Featherston. Featherston wants to know, and this is really to you and Mikey, because I don't watch this sport at all. Messi to Miami. He wants to know your takes on the compensation, the items included, and just that whole deal that has Messi going to Miami.
I can't believe Showtime's the soccer guy.
I didn't know either.
When the hell did that happen? I mean, he's a wild boy. That being said, I will say this. I don't think we need to touch on it too much, but the respect I have for this guy is astounding. He is
for like who, class Messi?
For Messi. He's class personified to me. I'm so happy he won a World Cup. His whole career, the knock on him is he can't win a World Cup. He can't win an international play when it matters. He goes out, proves everybody wrong. And then you know what? He doesn't take the bag from Saudi Arabia like Ronaldo did. And he comes back and instead he's going to make more money. Now, with the way that his deal is structured, he's going to make more money from Adidas, from Apple. And it's so smart. He's literally going to have equity in the MLS. And people are going to look at him and be like, yeah, this guy didn't take the money. But they're not realize he's going to make more money and save face by going to the MLS. And I think he's going to make the MLS something that people are going to actually focus on. I would have loved if Ronaldo had gone to the MLS too, and you had the two potentially biggest stars playing and duking it out in the MLS. But good on him, man. Good on him. Talk about restructuring a deal.
It's the right move by Messi. Messi is past his prime of being the most elite player in the world by a wide margin. He's still one of the most elite players in the world, but he is not the Messi of 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He got the monkey off of his back with the World Cup, like Joe said. He was living in the shadow of Diego Maradona. That's who he was living in the shadow of in the eyes of the Argentinian fans. He's out of that shadow completely. He's probably consensus now. I mean, the argument would probably be between him and Pele as maybe the greatest soccer player to ever step foot on the earth. In one day of his signing to Miami FC, their follower account on Instagram, I think, went up 4 million followers in a day. Mm-hmm. There's few people on the planet that can command the type of attention, the type of income, and the type of buzz that Lionel Messi can. Ronaldo is another one of them, but Lionel Messi is good. This is the best thing to happen to the MLS in a very long time. This is not like David Beckham. This is not like Andrea Pirlo. This is not like one of these other guys.
Well, Kaká went there. Kaká was a big-time name.
He's a big-time guy, but he's nobody to this level has ever stepped foot on an MLS field. So this is going to be a game-changer. 50 to 60 million, I mean, honestly, that's kind of a bargain, to be honest, for the type of money that they're going to generate. Messi is going to put so many asses in those seats because people in the United States are not privy to watch him when he was at Barcelona. They were not privy to watch him when he was playing Argentinian international games. They weren't privy to watch him when he was at PSG. They're not. So this is going to be Miami people and Americans are going to find this as a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's going to be a bucket list thing for a lot of people, I'm sure, to go and see this guy play before he doesn't play anymore. It's a brilliant move by both parties. I think it's mutually agreeable for both parties. And I think it does a lot for MLS. And I would love to see the day where MLS can hang in the conversation with the EPL, where it can hang in the conversation with La Liga.
Well, that'll never happen.
It never will, but if we take the right steps, and listen, United States, the men's national team has shown some progress over the last decade. I've seen some positive progress. It's just got to keep growing.
Premiership is like Major League Baseball. It's untouched by anything else.
There's no question. And La Liga too, and you know, Real Madrid and FC and Barcelona, obviously. But
Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga, of course. Sure. And I mean, listen, Serie A back in the day, when Juventus is Serie not far removed from greatness. Man. Napoli is good.
Actually, Inter just made it to the Champions League finals.
Right. So, I mean, Inter was always great. AC Milan had some great teams. So it is not that far removed, I don't think, the MLS is. But hopefully this is maybe a step in the right direction. And imagine if – you know, imagine if the MLS could throw dollars out like the Saudis. Unfortunately, they can't. Oh. But I'm just saying it would be great to have to be able to turn on. Like, I can't even really, like, honestly, like, I try and watch an MLS game, and the quality of soccer is just, it's just not nearly what it is when you turn on one of these other games. But good for Messi, good for Miami, good for both sides.
You're telling me the New York Red Bulls don't rock, dude? You're telling me they're not fantastic. So
I got friends of mine who are season ticket holders, and Joe, you met a couple of them.
My mom and dad go to Whitecaps.
A couple of my buddies from the bus, they're season ticket holders for the Red Bulls.
My mom and dad, they're season tickets for the Whitecaps for Vancouver. They love it. And there's been some Ibrahimovic going to, I think he was in LA Galaxy.
Thierry Henry for the Red Bulls.
It's a classic move.
Thierry Henry was a bad – I loved that guy.
Thierry Henry was great. And, I mean, you're talking about another World Cup winner.
Mikey, is that I agree with you and Joe that it will never be the Premier League. It's never going to do that.
No, never.
But if you told me – if you were having a conversation about the MLS 10 to 15 years ago, it held just such disrespect for people. And then guys like – David Beckham and all the guys you just mentioned, Kaká and Thierry Henry, have come over. And since those last 10 years, it is a much more respected league around the world, certainly in America. Certainly as a sport, it's much more respected. And that might have something to do with our international team getting better too. But, I mean, imagine where MLS could be in 10 more years, how much more respected it could be.
Go ahead, finish.
No. That was it.
I was going to say that your point exactly with the American men's team becoming more of a powerhouse.
Yes.
That's going to hold some weight
That team is progressing forward. And when you see the day, we need to see the day come where a guy like Christian Pulisic is compensated to play on an MLS team and keep him on American soil, because he's that, you know, and he's an elite player in the world. He's not just an elite American player. Christian Pulisic is a elite player amongst the world.
Well, I don't think he starts anymore with Chelsea. He comes off the bench. But that being said, he's still, I would agree with you, he's an elite player.
He's had recent injury issues as well. So, I mean, like, but I think when you have a guy like that, as big of a star as he was, when you could reach the point where you could retain a guy like that and keep him on a team here, that'll be the point where you see maybe things start turning around for MLS. But that's could be a far way away, but maybe not. We'll see.
I mean, I don't think anything needs to turn around for them. I think they've just gradually now, people like to say pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America. Golf, one of the fastest growing sports.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, it was NASCAR. They had their time in the early 2000s. MLS has never stopped growing. They're going at a much slower pace than all those sports, but they have, ever since David Beckham came to the Galaxy, they have been on an upward trajectory ever since. It just hasn't ever spiked, but they've been going up. And I think all those guys you mentioned, plus now Messi's really going to move the needle. I can only imagine where they're going.
And this little ball still reigns supreme over every other sport in the world.
Football always will. The world? I don't know about the world.
Not soccer, the world. I misquoted, but in America.
Better watch your tongue
over there. It will never be dethroned in America, ever.
No, it won't. And it's a Canadian game. Started in Canada. It's a Canadian game. Mikey,
The first football game was played in Piscataway, New Jersey, from what I understand. But that's
a topic
of discussion somewhere else.
I actually did not know that football was American or Canadian.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you were the one who told me.
I said basketball was originated in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to claim that I know the origins of football.
It might be the first college football game ever played, but first American football game ever played. Ticket, you can go ahead. I'm just curious.
Can you imagine creating basketball in your country and then seeing what America did with and made all that money on it? Can you imagine creating
the first American football game, November 6th, 1869, Rutgers and Princeton. Oh. New Jersey.
Yeah, but who was the first guy to come up with the football pride. And throw the pigskin around the backyard with the father?
That's why football runs through my blood, because it was born here. It was raised here.
Mikey, I'm not sold that it was born here. We were the first to monetize
it. I have it right here.
That's the first American professional football. Game play. Who's the first football? Guy to create the pigskin and throw it with their dad in the backyard?
Come on, Tick, who invented the football? That's another Google.
Well, Canada invented the basketball and they fumbled the bag, football. Mikey. Canada's not thinking about money. Canada's thinking about fun.
Walter Camp altered the game of rugby to create.
It looks like the first documented football match was a practice game played in November 9th, 1861 at the University of Toronto.
I'm telling you, man. Canadians aren't thinking about the dollar. They're trying to have fun, dude.
Guys, that's not right.
You know what they did for what they did for basketball? They had buckets. And they didn't
basketball,
have
basketball. I could believe that's
but what would happen is there was like a little hole at the bucket, and they would take like a broomstick. And if you got it in, you had to go in underneath and hit the ball out of the bucket, and it would just come flying out. You take like a broomstick and knock it out. Yeah. And then some guy decided to like cut a hole underneath the bucket so it would just go in.
So they created the football, they created basketball, they just had to watch us.
And what about hockey?
hockey. I mean, no one's going to fight you on hockey.
We got the trifecta here, Tick.
Tell you what, I wish playoff hockey was back, though. Playoff hockey was paying my fucking mortgage for the last 2 months.
Beardown was making only subs fucking money on the hockey.
I love these hockey over-unders, man. I really, truly do.
You take hockey over baseball in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Baseball last night almost hit a three-teamer, but that's...
Yeah, I saw that.
Baseball's
nice.
So tough, man. Baseball's so tough. You have a team that's favored so heavily, and then they'll come out and just throw an absolute
stinker. I think the
move
for baseball is looking for team total run. Total team run over-unders.
Isn't a first half is probably easiest for baseball, like first five innings?
First five innings is a bet, but I think the team total over-unders is a good bet if you find the right number.
First five innings is great because you're playing basically off the starting pitcher and you don't have to worry about the bullpen.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Well, in most games, unless the guy gets shelled.
Correct. But that's usually why there are a lot of bettors out there that like that bet.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, boys, to wrap up the segment, I guess Canada's like the Wozniak, and we're like the Steve Jobs. You guys create it, we'll find a way to make money on it. That's what we'll do.
We get left in the dust.
Yeah, you keep your poutine at A&W. We'll fucking make the money over here.
A&W's great, dog.
Yeah, it is. It is. And they should be everywhere, but Canada's got a hold on it, so it's never going to make any money or expand. All right, boys, there's been a lot of movement in the NBA. Obviously, the season's over, but does not stop the conversation, especially with trades like Bradley Beal, Porzingis to the Celtics. Damian Lillard seems to be on the block. Chris Middleton's opting out. I mean, there's a lot of movement here, Joseph.
Chris Paul got moved today, didn't he?
To the Warriors.
Chris Paul to the Warriors. Yeah, That's right. I mean,
what is going on, man?
I mean, Chris Paul's ring chasing, dog. That's what he's doing. We can wrap that up quick. That's what he's doing. He's trying to win one more. Well, he's trying to win one before he's done. Joey D, what do you think about all this? I mean, starting with Bradley Beal and Porzingis, I mean, what do you think about the new landscape?
I'm
going
to say this to start. I said this to Bob on the phone today. I don't understand what this fascination with Kristaps Porzingis is. I don't understand it. Marcus Smart to me is a dog. He's just got that it factor. He hustles. He plays good defense. He brings energy night in, night out. Yeah, he's not as big a scorer as Tatum, but like, to me, that's a guy that you keep on your team. To me, it was so clearly Jaylen Brown was the guy that they need to maybe move that has actual trade value, that they could maybe go for a guy like Damian Lillard or like someone, you know, package Brown and someone else. I don't know if this makes them considerably bigger. You say, okay, they needed a big guy. You know, they got a big guy now. Horford is not, you know, he's not dominant anymore. And then they got that other guy. What's his name?
I know what you're talking about.
What the fuck is his name?
Power Redford. Forward.
Redford.
Huh?
Robert Redford.
No, it's not. It's Robert Williams. So he's another big presence.
Robert Redford,
this,
third famous actor.
This brings in a good presence at the center position that they can, I guess, you know, take advantage of. I just don't understand what the allure to him is. And then Chris Paul, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think this guy's ever going to win a championship. I don't. I just don't think he's got that X factor. To me, the Warriors giving up Jordan Poole to get Chris Paul, I hate both of the moves. I hate them. I think that it's just like trying to like change a couple things here or there. It's not changing the dynamic of the team. I don't think it's going to make a big difference for either team. I don't think it puts either team over the edge. I don't know what you guys think, but to me, it's just a lot of just swapping and just like facelifts is what it is.
I tell you what I think. I think that the NBA, and I said it on the other podcast on the Brilliantly Dumb Show, Joe.
Yeah.
I think that this NBA finals and this NBA playoffs in general, and people could argue with me until they're blue in the face. That's fine. The NHL playoffs, people I know that watch NHL say the NHL playoffs this year were not that good in terms of competitiveness. They weren't as intense as they usually are. I don't know.
No,
not the
way.
Intensity from the players, but I'd
agree with that.
The series.
How many games went to overtime?
Here's my point, Joe. I watched NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, US Open. I saw more action that I would rather watch in a 20-minute span on the US Open on Friday night than I saw the entire NBA finals. I saw more action in the NHL playoffs in some of those games than I saw in the entire NBA finals. The NBA to me is gasping for air. These moves, these guys, Chris Paul's fucking washed.
Yeah.
Porzingis is a fucking reject from New York that went to Dallas. They like him, Joe, because he's 7'3", he's a little silky, and he's got a good jump shot. That's why he's attractive, because if he could stay on the court and not get hurt, he could knock down the deep ball, and he's fucking bigger than everybody else. That's why they like a guy like that. Beal deal. I mean, listen, Phoenix might have signed their own death warrant when they brought it. When they signed KD and he went over there, that was supposed to be all they needed with KD over there. What's going to happen? I don't know. Is Phoenix the hands down favorite now to win? No, Boston is now because of Porzingis. They're the future favorite now. Well, they are, according to the books, they are.
Yeah, but according to the books, they are. Out of all those deals, I think the Bradley Beal going to Phoenix helps that team the most.
I think so too. The Celtics, to me, like, they got to show me that they're not going to come up short every time now. But again, they'd have to win a championship to do that, and that's a little asinine to say. But it's just the NBA, bro, is like, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what it is. We've talked about it before. It doesn't have like that same allure to at least to me that it did years ago. I'm talking the era of Duncan, Garnett. That era, like, I would say right around when the Celtics got the big three, or even before, even when Garnett was on the T-Wolves and Robinson and Duncan were still on the Spurs together, and the Lakers still were the Lakers. Like, this NBA is not attractive or interesting to me in any way. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they don't play defense anymore. Maybe it's because everyone in the NBA is, a majority of these guys are big-time crybabies for the most part. I don't know. It just is not, it's not the same to me anymore. I just, it's so hard to get into like these off-season trades now right before the draft. I'm not surprised that the Chris Paul deal went down, because it is draft night tonight in the NBA. Everyone and their mother, you want to talk about uninteresting.
Yeah.
Does anyone even give a fuck that the NBA draft
well,
is
no,
tonight?
They have.
Everyone
they
knows have who's going number one. Wembanyama is going number one to the Spurs. Everybody knows this. He's supposed to be the next greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
But we've heard that about how many guys out of Europe, too, Joe? How many guys have we heard that about out of Europe? Maybe he pans out, maybe he doesn't.
Well,
but if you're an average fan, could you name me, honestly, if you're an average basketball fan, could you name me, outside of the top three picks, like seven more players in this draft? No. I couldn't.
No one gives a shit.
But I tell you what, the NFL draft, you could probably rip off 30 guys you know are going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Why I'll tell you that, though, because March Madness and college basketball
is almost as much, if not more, than NCAA football because these kids could come from the D League, they could come from Europe. Like the NFL, you know, there's only certain guys that are draft eligible, and they're all coming from the same pipeline. They're all coming from Power Five college schools for the most part, from college football. These NBA guys, Europe, this guy Scoot Henderson, or Anders, what's his last name? Scoot Henderson. This guy is a D-League player, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So well, Mikey, like, this is not, I mean, it's tougher to keep track of something like that. And it's they're not household names.
There's plenty of sports out there where the collegiate product is a lot better than the professional product. And I mean, no one watched gymnastics. A lot of people don't watch.
Basketball is one of those.
And that's what I'm
right
saying.
Now,
is their
right now
their
it
product,
is,
their professional product is one of the worst going. The NBA is one of the toughest watches you could possibly have out there. And the reason is because of ever since the destruction of the mid-range shot, that's what was fun about Kobe. That's what was fun about Dirk Nowitzki. And it all became because of the heave and leave play, the three-point shot ever since Steph Curry came in the game. Now, do I think it's exciting? Was it exciting? Yes. I don't want Steph Curry hate coming my way in the DMs. I don't want that. He's exciting. Yes, he is. It was everyone after Steph Curry who saw what he did with this heave and leave. Don't chase your rebounds. Don't play defense at all. Just go down there. Use 3 seconds off the play clock and heave it up there.
And
that's 99% what we'll call a play.
99% of them.
It's a horrible game. I mean, it's a great game, but they've bastardized it to a point that it's unwatchable.
I agree. The NCAA tournament, Joe, you know as well as I do, the NCAA tournament, take away the fact that it's a tournament. I get it. Like, that's what makes it exciting. It's do or die every game. It's a one-game playoff for all these teams. But those games, man, like the Kansas State, I'll go back, the Kansas State Michigan State game in New York City at the Garden, where the point guard from Kansas State to New York City game, that game blew away any NBA playoff game this year. It blew it out of the water, not even close. The alley-oop from the top of the key to tie the game or to take the lead in overtime or to send it to overtime, whatever it was, because I watched so many fucking games, I can't vividly, but that alley-oop play, bro, that was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I haven't been that juiced up for a basketball game. And I have no invest. I mean, I had some financial investment in it.
Well, they have real plays.
I didn't have a rooting investment. What do I care about?
I will
say
this.
They have real plays running in the collegiate level.
I fell in love with the storyline behind the point guard at Kansas State because of the way this kid was playing. He twisted his ankle in that game, and he played through it. And I was like, yo, this kid's got fucking balls, and he could fuck. He is a difference maker. All the heart in the world. These guys get fucking paid max, super max contracts and get to sit out games where you take your kid and pay $300 a seat to go see him. They need fucking rest days. Get the fuck out of here with that. It's just, this league is so soft. It's so soft. It's
charming. You're talking about that Noel guy, right?
Noel. Yeah. But that guy was special, bro. What a special tournament he had, man. What a tournament.
Here's my thing. I agree with you guys that college basketball is a more true version of the sport. In terms of, you see ball distribution, you see real
coaching.
Defense, real coaching, you see different techniques that run plays. The NBA has become, like you said, Mikey V, there's so much money being played to these players that so many times on offense, there's this isolation one-on-one.
ISO. It's all ISO.
Where everybody kind of
backs off
and lets the Kevin Durant's of the world or the Devin Booker's of
world. And listen, I'm not taking away from those guys. Like what Jokic did, I'm not taking, like Jokic is fucking, he's unbelievable.
Jokic.
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing about Jokic.
What he did was incredible. I'm not taking it away from him. The guy could do everything, and he looks like just some average guy. He doesn't even look like a superstar athlete would look by definition. And he's fucking the best guy out there by a wide margin. He's incredible, Jokic.
He's more well-rounded, though. He distributes the ball. But I will say, you guys are saying that basketball is you can't watch it. It's not enjoyable. I will say there was plenty of moments in the NBA championship, or not even the championship, maybe, but in the playoffs, when Miami took down Milwaukee on that last minute play. Butler heaves the ball up to tie it to go to overtime. Yeah. He scored like 62 points to win the game. That was one of them. The semifinals against Boston, getting the last second shot, 0.1 seconds. He gets a shot up to beat the Heat to send it to game 7. That was exciting. There was a lot of exciting games. I agree. The championship was just, nobody thought that the Heat were going to win. So it was
one. Yeah, but Joe, there's exciting moments in a lot of sports that no one watches because they're not selling a good product. And I'm not saying there aren't exciting moments in, because it's still basketball. There will be exciting moments, but the NBA as a business is selling such a piss poor product that it doesn't even matter. There's plenty of exciting shit happening in tennis, but most people don't watch that either. In pickleball, it's just because they're not selling us what the NFL is selling us, what MLS hopefully sells us eventually. Even with the Major League Baseball, they've turned it around a little bit. They were unwatchable a few years ago. Yeah. They've turned it around a little bit.
Here's another problem with the NBA. The way it's set up, the four 12-minute quarters, there are so many NBA games where you can literally, and you can't do it with college because there's only two halves. You either watch it or you don't. You could maybe say, I didn't watch the first half, but if you're going to watch the game, you got to watch the whole second half. You got to watch the whole thing. In the NBA, you could literally not worry about what the score is. Turn the game on for the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. You don't even need to watch the beginning of the game. For the most part, you don't even need to watch the first three quarters because they don't play defense. It's a game of extreme runs at times. And I just feel like it's just different. And maybe the quarters, maybe they should think about going, and they never will, but I kind of like college more for the two halves. I think the two halves makes it more interesting. I think it makes the player psychologically say, once that second half buzzer starts, that's it. That's it. That's all you got. There's no quarters. But again, I don't know what it is. I just think it's an overall lack of caring, really, from some of these guys. I mean, especially during the regular season. During the regular season, these guys
load management is awful too. The load management has, like, if you're a paying customer, like you're paying to go watch a game, and LeBron James is sitting out a game where it's not a back to back, he's not hurt, and I'm just using LeBron as an example. I'm not saying that he's. I mean, how many games did fucking Kawhi Leonard miss?
Oh man,
this year. Could you imagine if you're a fan of the Clippers going and watching, you know, night in, night out, this guy's out of the lineup, and then in the playoffs, he plays a couple games and hurts his knee and is out again. It's that to me is what really hurts the sport, because people are paying money to watch these stars play, and like you said, they're getting paid so much money. So if that's the case, then maybe reduce the amount of games these guys play throughout the year. But like, they should be playing, unless it's playoff time and you've secured a playoff spot, you can't change or you know, manipulate your ranking and where you're going to finish in the overall. You should be playing.
And that's why my sympathy for some of these superstar guys that start with the tiny violin about how, you know, I'm not, you know, this is a game, and I'm, you know, this is not just for your, you know, this is not my, this is just a game. It's just a game. No, it's your job. And if you don't like your job and making millions of dollars, go try and hump a regular day job and tell your boss that you need a day off because of load management, and see how that works out for you. Because these guys, half of them are living in fantasy world.
Yeah.
It's fantasy world, and it's insulting.
There's no more player-coached league going right now than the NBA. I mean, if you even look at
I agree 100% with that.
If you look at the NFL even a few years ago when LaFleur banged the Packers and didn't give Aaron Rodgers the ball back, whether that was right decision or not, the decision still was left with the head coach, you know. Yep. And in baseball, they get to decide when the pitcher's coming out and when the middle relief guy's coming in. With the NBA, the reason, and that's part of the reason you're seeing ISO after ISO after ISO, is because LeBron James is running the Los Angeles Lakers, and he says, give me the fucking ball, and he's going to run an ISO. He's not going to run a play. He's going to run an ISO. And it's just, you got to bring some coaching back, but how are you going to coach these billion-dollar athletes who are using the NBA as a stepping platform to build their shoe business, their clothing business, their media business? That's all it is. They see it as an opportunity to make money later in their life, and more power to them. They should. It's a game you can only play till, if you're lucky, 38 years old, probably 32 years old. But that is all a part of the reason as why the NBA is just, it's slipped and slipped and slipped and slipped. Right, and not to mention, no one wants to participate in their most exciting thing, the slam dunk contest. Can we get a goddamn name in that thing?
Oh, that's God.
They can't even.
The fact that they got, as good as he was, this McClung wasn't even on the roster
player,
and he won it. Is one of the more absurd things I've ever seen.
That's what I mean. Like, how could these guys compare themselves to some of these guys of yesteryear when you don't even, It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
All right, moving on, boys. Let's move over to something a little more interesting here, at least as far as sports go. Derek Jeter couldn't hack it as an owner. Couldn't hack it with the
Steinbrenner couldn't hack it with the Marlins.
Yeah, I'm just saying, couldn't hack. Could you imagine being an owner? And now he's going to move to a broadcasting career. Yeah. It's got to be a tough first couple days to see him in the broadcasting booth if you're working alongside him. Like, it didn't work out for you. But Mikey B, he's your boy. He's your Yankee. I mean, I'm sure he was one of your favorite guys growing up. He was everyone's, even if you weren't a Yankee guy. He was just such a fun, great guy to watch. What are your thoughts of him moving into the booth? What do you think he's going to do?
I think he'll do well. I mean, I think Jeter's got a magnetic personality. One of those guys who always did everything right, never was getting, you know, I mean, the biggest knock on Jeter was that, what, he never settled down and he was banging too many women. I mean, like, I don't know if that's really a problem, to be honest, if you're in his position. I love Derek Jeter. I think he'll do extremely well. He's personable. He's well-spoken, good-looking guy. I mean, he'll thrive in that role. I no knock on him as an owner from me. I know he's got the new clothing line operation with, I believe he's teamed up with, I want to say he's teamed up with Gretzky, if I'm not mistaken, or some really? Other legend of sport of sorts. They have a new clothing line and it's launched and it's doing well. And I think Derek will do very well. One of my favorite Yankees of all time, obviously. I mean, you couldn't be a kid growing up anywhere around here and not be, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you're a Yankee fan because of Derek Jeter. I mean, that's just what it is. And I think he'll do well. I think it'll be a good move for him. I don't even think he needs the money. I don't think that's the case. I think he just wants to do it. A guy who loves, the game of baseball. And anytime you keep a guy like that around for the game of baseball, I think it's good for the game of baseball.
Joey D, any thoughts?
Not much to say. I think I would say, like, anytime you get somebody who's a successful athlete like he is, and, you know, you're on the go 24/7, you're nonstop. When you retire, things got to slow down at a snail's pace. So trying to be in, you know, traveling and watching baseball, commentating on it, it's almost like he's, you know, back a little bit back in his old regimen in terms of, you know, what he used to do. I'm sure he just had more time to deal with than he, you know, he's ever had before. So probably keeps him busy. I think he's, you know, I'll reverberate what Mikey V said. I think he's a guy who attracts a lot of people and has drawn a lot of audience to the sport. So I think he'll be fine. I'm kind of indifferent. I could give less of a shit, to be completely honest.
Yeah, me too. Good for him. Good job.
Yeah. Happy for him. The rich get richer. And you know, that's
right.
Always what happens normally.
He's a magnetic guy, though, when he's like Mikey V. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do. I'm sure he'll do great.
I tell you what, the Yankees could probably use him right now. They could use something, man. They're getting the. I just looked; they're losing 10-0.
I said, there's only two ways this season plays out. One, option one for the New York Yankees this year, they get into the playoffs, they backdoor their way in. Because they ain't winning the fucking division. They're not going to win the division. They back their way in via wild card and they get knocked out by a much superior team before they reach the World Series like they have for the last however many years. That happens again and nothing changes. Or option two, they miss the playoffs and maybe, just maybe, that finally precipitates in a major change within the organization or major changes. What do you want as a Yankee fan? You really want to go back to the playoffs, I bet? Make the moves and listen, I'm ready to sell, not my soul in particular, because I don't want to sell my soul, but somebody in the Yankees organization should be willing to sell their soul for Shohei Ohtani. If it's possible at all, throw every single cent that you have at this man. I don't care. You team him up. You bring him in there, Cole, him, Rodon, maybe if he ever comes back to planet Earth, Judge. I mean, now we're talking.
That's how you Yankee fans fix all your problems.
Now we're talking.
Throw money and get the best guy out.
Let me ask you a question.
Let other people grow.
When's the last time we threw money? When's the last time we threw money and got the best guy out there before Cole? And don't say Judge.
Before Cole. Okay, yeah, you had to throw a thing in there because it was Cole. It was Cole.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys historically have always
historically
done
that. And it's worked out, and it's fucking worked out. And then they stopped because the owner's son Hal is a ballless little weasel. That's why. He's a ballless. He had the audacity to go on New York radio yesterday and say, I don't know what all the Yankees fans' problem is. It's still June. He had the absolute gall to say, what's our problem? You're the New York fucking Yankees, and you're losing series after series. You just got embarrassed by your rival. Embarrassed in Boston. They got fucking embarrassed to a mediocre.
Well, yeah, they're not very good either. That was worse.
Yeah, they're a little hot though. The Red Sox are a little hot right now, but yeah. It's just embarrassing. You're losing to embarrassing teams. Your lineup can't produce shit, especially with Judge out of it. So I don't want to get into a Yankee tirade because that's not the topic of discussion. But we talked on Jeter, so I had to just mention my thoughts on the Yankees this year. Go get Ohtani. Go get him.
Yeah. Well, just to button up the Jeter thing, one can only hope and pray he's replacing John Smoltz, because I can't listen to that guy talk.
Smoltzy?
He'll just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. He could do the whole fucking show on his own, because that guy loves the sound of his own voice.
Yeah, he loves
so
it.
One can only pray that he's replacing John Smoltz. Smoltzy. Moving on to another guy who's selling a team. Michael Jordan sells the Hornets after a long time of owning that team. Really wanted to see his hometown turn it around and be successful in any way, and never really got close. Never really put a team together that ever got close. Thoughts, Joey D?
I don't really give a shit. The Charlotte Hornets, they're not a good team. They've never really, if you look at the last 5 to 7 years, what moves has he made as an owner to significantly improve that team? Little to none.
I miss the Muggsy Bogues Charlotte Hornets.
Oh God! I mean,
Muggsy Bogues, and who was the other player? Johnson. What was his name? Grandmama.
What was it? Larry.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, they called him Grandmama.
Grandmama. Yeah. him and Muggsy Bogues was great.
Hornets have stunk for a long
time. That was a good era of the NBA.
Yeah, it was.
And by the way,
a lot of good eras in the NBA.
Every single person in our age bracket had a Charlotte Hornets piece of clothing with the purple and the blue.
That's everybody, true. Especially in New Jersey. Single person, everyone did there.
Everyone had Charlotte Hornets.
Everybody.
You didn't have to be a Charlotte Hornets fan, but somehow, some way, everyone had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket. Everybody. Starter jacket. Everybody.
Those starter jackets were sick. Remember the Vancouver Grizzlies one?
The best.
The Vancouver Grizzlies stuck.
I almost invested in an old school Bears one that they like re-released, but I was worried the sleeve length would be an issue. So I didn't
know. Let's move it on, Tick.
Let's move it on. Let's do one quick segment before we get to who's a problem this week. And just briefly, your thoughts on, there was a fisherman out there this week. I actually saw this. I'm glad he added this to our rundown, but I saw this on Instagram. They caught like this massive fucking fish.
619
pounds.
Yeah,
619 pounds.
Tuna? Like
the biggest marlin. No, it was a marlin.
Oh,
yeah.
Marlin, yeah, big game
and,
fish. What do you
and
mean?
It was like, it was going to be worth like millions. Like
3.5 million.
Millions. And they disqualified him, and he's worth nothing because the fish itself was mutilated. Like it wasn't mutilated. It was fucked up a little bit.
It wasn't to say mutilated. I think it's a bit of a reach. It had like part of its side bitten out of it from a shark.
Well, wouldn't you get in the fishing?
I'd call that mutilated, Joe. If you had your side bitten off by a shark, I'd call you mutilated.
The thing was 619 pounds, and to their argument,
I call it mutilated now.
They fought for 6 hours to fight.
You know what it takes to reel in a fucking fish like that. Like 80 guys got to do it.
I guess what they're saying, the big league fishing championship, whoever the committee is, basically says that if a fish has been bitten or attacked by a shark, it loses some of its potential to fight back against a fisherman. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about. To be completely honest, how you could make $3.5 million off of a fish. I mean, when was the last time you guys have heard of a fishing championship? But yeah, it's a cool story, I guess. But give the guys their money, man. There's a little bit out of it. Some sashimi for the shark. Let the fucking thing be the prize winner. But it was 135 pounds bigger than the second place winner, which was like 400 and something pounds.
Yeah, if it's
like
619,
how much of the fucking side is missing?
Yeah, if it's 619 pounds and it got bitten out of, you got to imagine there's at least 550 pounds still usable of that fish.
Still over 100 and something pounds more than the second place
marlin. There's still a lot there to eat on.
I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem right.
I'm more of a crabbing guy. I like that.
Oh, I love a good crab.
You know who's not a good crabbing guy?
Guy's allergic
to Maine. Lobster fishing is big game, Bob.
What was that show where you used to watch the ships go out there and crab? You ever watch that show?
Oh, yeah.
It was like
it was called The Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, but that was for Alaskan king crab. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm much more into the crabbing. Those guys, yeah. they're
the perfect. We weren't gonna do that. We're gonna go
perfect,
on
the perfect storm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, we were going to be treated to like the red carpet.
We're gonna have a red carpet experience, and Bob blew it for us.
Yeah.
And you know what I could say? Because he doesn't listen to Sportsman anyways.
And
that's very true.
We said something the other day and Bob goes, oh, when did that happen? I was like, well, clearly you don't listen to Sportsmen.
Oh, that's right. That was great. Really made him feel bad, but not bad enough to start listening. All right, boys, let's move on to the new segment that we got that was a big hit last week. Who's a problem? Joey D, I'd like to start with you. Give me your problem this week. Who you got a problem with? I'm sure you got plenty.
Tyreek Hill, this guy, all the talent in the world. You know, the guy is as good a receiver as you'll ever find. Why do these guys find the need to get themselves in trouble with the law, with different shit, when they're off season? Just stay out of trouble. Spend your millions. Go off to a resort, you know, some deserted island where there's no one, where you can't cause issues. This guy and his buddies tried to go. They tried to get onto a boat. They tried to board a boat without permission after hours. And one of the people who worked for the marina came to like basically tell them they couldn't get on the boat. This guy proceeds to fucking strike the employee. Now, it's saying that the employee's not going to press charges or charge him with assault. Who knows how much money under the table this guy's filtering to him. But come on, man. You know, you think that these guys in the offseason are trying to better themselves in order to make a Super Bowl push. The Miami Dolphins...
Reek's already got rings, bro. He's already got rings.
I understand that, but why?
He has a single ring.
Didn't a few years? He's got one ring.
One, yeah, he's got one.
But years ago, didn't he have an issue where he hit a woman or he had a
his kid?
His kid, yeah. Like, what are you doing, man? You're the cheetah. Just take your money, collect your bag, go do what you do, and stay out of this fucking negative limelight. It's not necessary.
Fans of the game have to really take a deep look at what you're looking to get out of these pro athletes that you've become obsessed with. Like, think about what you're getting at face value and what you're getting that's, you know, past, you know, the personality and the exterior, what you're really getting. Like, there's certain guys in the league that just, if they're on your team, you love them because they're great and they're wonderful. But, you know, deep down, they're potentially not the best person on the planet. I think it's safe to say that Tyreek Hill may be not the best person on the planet, which is fine. That's a good take, Joe. Good take. I think he's got Miami in a little precarious position.
All right, Mikey V, who's your problem this week?
Oh, I tell you, it was a fucking problem, man. Yeah, I tell you, it was a fucking problem, man. Zion Williamson, this whole drama with Mariah Mills, the porn star. I've seen some Twitter tirades in my day. I've been involved in a few in my day, but this takes the Twitter cake. Mariah Mills going on an absolute
doing nuts
red tear. I'm going to release a sex tape of me and Zion, calling out the girl that apparently is also a porn star, but according to Mariah Mills, she's like a D-list porn star.
I think she does OnlyFans. I think,
bro, it is, and this guy, man, like, what? I remember watching this kid at Duke, and I thought he was awesome at Duke, but Mike Francesa, who's obviously one of the biggest sports radio personalities in the history of sports radio, Mad Dog Chris Russo made sports radio, as far as I'm concerned, but. He's usually cold on a lot of his takes, but he did say, he was like, you know, this is Zion Williamson. I'm not really, I don't really think he's going to pan out. He's just a big guy in college, you know, but he's not really going to pan out in the pros. I think he might be spot on. Zion was so much bigger, stronger, more athletic than these guys. And not height-wise, I'm just saying his build in college. He could just bully people in college. And now, you know, injuries... And now this shit with this drama, I tell you what, this is a problem. If you're a Pelicans fan, this is a real fucking problem, this guy. And you could say whatever you want, but I don't know how this is going to end up. I know her Mariah Mills' Twitter account got suspended after she said she was going to release the sex tape. It got suspended, and she's adding the NBA. And she's got millions of followers, so she's adding the NBA. She's adding the Pelicans. She's adding Zion Williamson. This is just, bro, like, dude, you talk about,
she's
like,
batshit crazy, too, though.
Oh, she's nuts.
Yeah,
she's a grade-A lunatic, but there's not a single doubt in my mind. I mean, she showed the receipts, Cutsy. She's got the receipts, the DM.
I'm not denying that, but again, why are these guys getting involved? He's got,
why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Psychopath.
Well, maybe he didn't think that she was a psycho.
Oh.
I kind of want to see the tape.
Oh,
yeah. I kind of want to see it. Kind of want to see it.
Oh, my God.
It's got to be wild. I take a look.
Yeah. I'll pass on that.
I tell you what, if you're a person who got banged on screen in front of millions of people while pretending to be a pizza delivery girl, you're probably not all organized.
Psychotic,
upstairs,
man.
Okay? Yeah, you're probably not the most organized person upstairs.
I saw the Twitter exchanges. It's just like,
oh, dude, she was. Yeah, rough. I mean, she sounded like a total psychopath.
So,
the story
behind it, if I'm just to make sure I'm on the same page,
he was banging.
He got
her
proposed,
Joe.
Or he's got a child with
he
another
knocked
girl.
Up, no, he yeah. knocked her up. He knocked her up.
Not
the other
Mills,
girl.
The other girl.
No, the other girl knocked her up, and then Mills found out about it. Obviously,
she didn't even know about the other girl.
Right.
And they never like, do, Joe. They never do.
Zion was telling Mariah Mills that, you know, I'm going to take care of you forever. And, you know, you're my true love. And I mean, she aired out. You want to talk about just getting your entire life just aired out. That's just, it's, I honestly felt so awkward for him. And she is just, like you said, Joe, she is a total sociopath.
Whack job.
A total sociopath. But you know what? It serves them right, because you can't do crazy shit like that and expect to get away with it with a person who could literally flame and could burn and flame you in 2 seconds because of the following she has.
You get in bed with the psycho, quite literally.
Yeah.
Beware the consequence.
You're going to get the knife. Yeah. I got two. I'll keep it to one, because one is not sports related. So I'll throw that one out the window. I just
Scorsese.
Yeah, it's Scorsese. I got a problem with people who want to go in submarines, with all due respect.
I agree. That's a great take. I'm sorry. That's a great take by Tick.
That's tough, Tick.
It's all due respect.
And you know what? Yeah, I feel bad for their families. But, I mean, that's the right take. I mean, you're a billionaire.
See that the one lady, the wife of the one guy, was like related to the Titanic, like a couple that died in
the
pilot, Titanic.
The pilot of the submarine's wife is the great great granddaughter of someone who was on the Titanic. Was a first class passenger couple on the Titanic. Their granddaughter.
I still wouldn't need to see it.
Insane.
Wouldn't need to see it. Even if it was my relative.
Who the fuck? Listen, these billionaires, bro, they run out of shit to do. They run. Swear to God, that's what it is. They run out of shit to do. They're
when James Cameron, the huge director who did Avatar, did he do Titanic?
He did Titanic. He did Terminator.
Yeah.
I believe he did
Terminator. He had this whole documentary series where he built this special submarine to go lower. His whole goal was to go deeper than anyone has ever gone before. And it was just like, why? Why? I can't fathom why you need to go down there. And it makes no sense.
You don't need
sense
to see shit
to
that low.
No, you don't. You
I tell you what, did
Joseph.
You see what it looks like? What happened to them, though? Like, what happened to the submarine?
It's tough.
It doesn't blow up, Joe. Holly showed me a video of it. So they showed this train that was carrying some type of gas or something like that, and it implodes. So, like, it looks like a big cylinder, and it looks like a tuna can, like you crunch a soda can. Like, imagine a soda can just getting compressed and crushed. And that was at one level one of whatever measurement they call that for compression, level one. And this thing, a metal, huge steel container on a train, crumpled into a fucking soda can almost, like the sides came crashing down. They said that the pressure for the submarine was 375 times worse than that. So but on the bright side, they did say like there was no suffering at all, because these people were evaporated within like seconds. That's how like insane the pressure.
You probably didn't feel it happen. It probably
definitely not. It was over in a blink of an eye or less. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. So I just don't get that. But so I'll move it on to something sports related, but I'll keep it short now because we kind of went on this tangent. It's just Jalen Rose. I just can't stand that guy. Everything about him is fake.
Hair.
Everything about him is fake. Most importantly, his hair. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. He just thinks he is number one. He'll go on First Take at least once or twice a week. He loves talking to Stephen A. And that's too obvious of a guy who's a problem. So I'll never pick him, but he is a problem. But Jalen Rose is just, he wants to be the realest of the real, and he's the fake. I just cannot stand. And he's acting like he's 19 still. He's acting like he just got out of Michigan and he's going into the league and he's still buddies with all these guys. Just act your age, please. Just can someone act? Just act your age. Come on, let's do that. How about we try that for 1 week and see how it goes? All right, boys, let's move on to viewer questions of the week. We got four here. We'll start with Jace. We'll keep them quick since we got four. This one's coming from Jace. He says, what do you guys think about Jokic's perspective towards the win? Some say his attitude is disrespectful towards the sport and fans. And some say it's a relief seeing that basketball isn't his main focus in life. What do you guys think?
Half these guys, they make it sound like basketball. It's only a game, right? How many guys you got to hear tell you it's only a game? It's only a game. So Jokic is like, I'm glad I could go back to the farm or whatever the fuck he said. He go back to his horses or whatever he said. Who gives a shit? The guy,
I don't know what else he has to do.
If some Joe Blow nobody said it, maybe I'd be like, oh, that's why you don't play or the. This guy was better than anybody else out there. So really, I mean, what can you say?
And what else does he need to do? Honestly, the guy was like a grade A teammate. He brought his team to the championship, won it, should have been the MVP. No offense to your Embiid. He should have been an MVP for what? The third year in a row.
No, so, Embiid earned that trophy. Everyone said it until Jokic, even you said it until Jokic then won, but that's neither here nor there.
My point is he's been the MVP the last couple of years before this year.
Yep.
He won the NBA finals. He's done everything he needs to do. Who gives a shit what he says? It's not like he's trash talking. I'd rather have a guy who's more mellow and just does his thing. He's a family guy.
I really wonder what like some of his teammates genuinely think of him. There's got to be some guy like, because the locker room dynamic has to be so interesting. That fascinates me. Like he's so polar opposite, like of some of these guys in the league, like in terms of like where he comes from, his background and stuff like that. Like, I wonder how his teammates, what they actually think of him. Like, I wonder if they're like, yo, this is a doofy motherfucker right here. Like, this
if you win, you win. This guy,
you win. That's all that should matter. But I don't know if that's the case with some of these guys in the league anymore. I really don't. I really don't know if some of these guys actually genuinely give a shit. As long as they're getting paid, because they're getting paid so much. How could you really? You're still a multi. Unless you're born with that fucking psycho gene like Jordan had, like Kobe had, like Brady had in football. Like that uber competitive, like you're just a sociopath. All you care about is winning, not money. There's not a lot of guys. Those guys made their multi-millions, true. But you know from all experiences with those guys, like those guys would like sacrifice a family member to win a championship. Yeah. At least that's what it seemed like. I just don't know how many of those guys are left in the league these days. I don't know. I genuinely don't. I don't know.
If I won the champ, I wouldn't go to the parade either. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go to that. Really? Getting out of there?
I would go to the parade.
Where do you park? How do you get out of there?
Oh, you're talking about as a fan?
Oh, I'm saying if I won, them too. The players still got a ticket.
They get helicoptered in.
They get helicoptered in?
Yeah, whatever they want.
Where are they landing?
It doesn't matter. On top of a building? On top of a building.
On a building?
Yeah, fuck it.
Taking the elevator down? All right, well, then I would go.
If the Chicago Bears win the Super Bowl, they'll fucking helicopter Justin Fields in onto the top of the Sears Tower and let him fucking land. Right there, if they
enough. I would go
to a parade as a fan. I would.
You would.
If the Bears ever won a Super Bowl, I've never seen it.
My biggest regret was not going when the Eagles won in 2017.
I'm sitting amongst a group of boys here who have seen their teams win the Super Bowl. I was supposed to go.
I had a ticket, but I couldn't. I just wasn't in a position financially to fly from LA for a day. I just couldn't do it.
It's a life-altering experience.
I know.
Went to the parade, Joe?
I didn't go, but I'm saying watching your team win the Super Bowl, and I'm not trying to like throw dirt. I'm just trying to say hopefully one day you'll be able to see it. Because it is unbelievable. It's an incredible feeling. And like, I think I watched the highlights for a day straight. After
I would do the same thing. I mean,
I did too. I bought the DVD.
I watched Deion Sanders.
Bro, I bought the DVD. Ohio State 2002 national title. I have the DVD.
You know, the second the game's over and they give you the whole thing, they're like, buy the DVD. I bought the DVD.
Yeah, me too, man. Now YouTube, you could just, you know.
I know. What a fool. I should have waited a year. Literally 1 year.
You have that as a commemoration.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. All right, next question comes from Tim. This may be more of a question for Cold Cuts and Big Ticket, but bear down, give your story too. With all of you that have played golf, we all get paired with some crazy people. Let's hear your best random pairing story. Joey D, we'll start with you.
I mean, I'm trying to think. The thing is, I haven't played with a random pairing in so long that I'm trying to think. I would say we Bob and I, one time we got paired with this old Asian guy who Bob ended up taking swing advice from, which is just one of the most absurd things in the world, because for the next 2 months, his name was Tuan. Do you remember this ticket?
Yeah, I remember Tuan.
Bob somehow thought this random old Asian guy was
short,
like,
for Antoine.
Well, it was Tuan, that he was going to take advice from him because he thought he knew what he was doing. And he gave Bob the yips for about 2 months. And this guy was hounding Bob from start to finish about his swing, not to mention my swing's way worse than Bob's. And he left me alone because I made sure of it early and often. When you get some of these guys trying to give you swing advice while you're playing, I just let them know early and often, thanks, but no thanks. I already got enough things to learn and discover. I'm already a shitty enough golfer. I got to figure it out on my own, but I appreciate it. But Bob, for some reason, started buying into this guy.
Bob can't say no. He can't say no. Not to somebody's face.
He's too nice.
Yeah, he can't say no.
And this guy banged Bob from start to finish. It's good. I would probably say Tuan, yeah. Psychopath.
Mikey V, you got one?
I mean, I played in an outing Tuesday, and I was paired up with three randoms. I was the fourth in a random foursome because it was an outing for a work event, and me and my boss registered so late that we didn't have an organized foursome, so I got paired up with these three other guys. And let me say something right now. When I look like the best golfer in a foursome, okay, you could only imagine what these gentlemen were doing on the course. There was a lot of Hennessy flowing. There was a lot of Hennessy getting passed around. But you know what? It was so much fun because, like, everyone was so bad that it was like it was nobody gave a shit. It was best ball. It was just fun. It was just fun. But that was interesting to say. I was getting my balls broken. There was no question. I finally hit like a decent drive, I think, on like the, I want to say like the 16th hole. And the one guy was like, there you go, 6'9". He was calling me 6'9", even though I'm 6'7". He's like, there you go, 6'9". It only took you 16 fucking holes. He goes, meanwhile, this guy missed the ball like 80 times. Like, I'm okay enough now where I won't swing and miss the ball. Like, that ain't going to happen. But like it was very comical.
Did you have a good time though?
I had a great time. Whether it was good, it was a good time.
Golf's always a good time.
The 18th hole was my best hole. Single bogeyed it. It was my best hole. Single bogey. It is what it is. But it was like I hit an approach shot that was like a wedge shot. I don't know. I would say maybe 75 yards out and rolled it, Joe, right to the pin, to the point where I was like, oh, I thought it was going to go in for par. Oh. If it had went in for par, I probably would have walked off the course then and there and maybe not played for like another 3 weeks.
Those are the shots that keep coming back, man.
That's the problem.
That's a fucking problem. And it always happens on 18 too. Your last one. Yeah. So it's all you remember.
So he's not wrong.
You're right back.
So fucking.
I had one guy a long time. It was very similar to Joe. It was in LA. There's a lot of these guys, but mine was an older Asian guy too. And so it was me and my buddy Gabe and this guy. And then our fourth was his wife, who was not playing. She was just following him, basically his caddy, bringing out his clubs and whatnot. And I've seen that a couple times. Some of these older Asian guys will bring their wife out. But this guy in particular, she would like, after the first couple holes, she popped open some edamame for him. He was eating edamame on like hole eight. He popped out a little spicy tuna rolls. He was eating spicy tuna rolls. She was just like his personal assistant, just absolutely just serving this guy a 5-course meal on the course. So that was a bizarre experience. But I've had plenty of experience with guys, yeah, who want to give me tips, who want to fix me, guys who don't want to stop talking, guys who get too drunk. There's a million of these crazy fucks out here who you get paired with randomly. If you're playing golf on your own, like if you're one of these, sorry, Mikey V, you just said you're one of these guys, but if you go out as a single and you're about to get paired up with three other guys or two other guys, you're usually some sort of psychopath. You're usually a nut. And one of them is our friend James Patrick Featherston. And Mikey B, I imagine you don't do it often, but it's, you're either.
No, I mean, listen, so here's the thing is like everyone. So it was a work outing, but everyone works in the same field basically. So we all kind of were all semi-familiar with each other, but yeah, no, but I wasn't drinking really. I'm on this cleanse. Like I'm only drinking one day a week. Like I'm being very strict with it. So like I had like one cup of bourbon, and that's only because somebody who drove by that I know for years had this very nice bottle of bourbon, and these guys were getting fucking sauced, bro. Like yeah. Guys were getting fucking lit up, and he's like, you gotta have some of this. I wasn't gonna say no, so I let him pour me some, but I was a gentleman and a scholar. I was keeping that foursome together, man. I was keeping it moving. You want to talk about rate of play? I was looking at the GPS on the cart. Next thing I knew, 30 minutes behind the pace. I go, guys, we got to skip the next two holes. We got to just skip. And they were, it was fun though, man. It's fun. It is great. If you get out like there with the fun. Right people, it's just so much fun. It's just so much fun. I mean, it's frustrating. It's definitely, I mean, I've taken three lessons now. And like, there was a point on Tuesday where I was like, yo, like, fuck this. And then, you know, you hit a shot and you're like, maybe I'm busy. Gotta go. Keep going. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's great.
All right. And the last question, we'll just keep it real quick. It was just for me. It was like, what do I think about Nick Nurse? Doesn't matter. Sixers stink. We always will stink. We're the worst. Anyone's better than Doc Rivers, to be honest. So it is an upgrade. I'm not going to say that.
Good name. Suck. I like the name.
Nick Nurse. Alliteration. It's everyone loves alliteration.
It's a good name.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
It is. All right, boys, another good one. That was fun. Ran pretty long on this one. That's another edition of The Sportsman. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, and hit up our Instagram account. That's how you're going to get your questions in to Mr. Anderson. Like and subscribe to the YouTube as well. And thanks for listening. That's going to be another edition of The Sportsman. Mikey V, Joey Coldcuts, I'm Big Ticket. Till next week, folks.